Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
105.3 FM. Yeah, that's right. So far, so good. 105.3 FM HD2. Kenner, New Orleans. Weather news is next a minute ago, because you missed it. If you didn't catch it the first time. This is Tom Fitzmaurice with the second course of The Food Show. It's nice to be here with you talking about food, restaurants, cooking, wine, and, you know, everything else that's delicious. Ron the Gourmet Waiter is our official guest host today. And I asked him if he wouldn't mind doing it, along with a couple of other servers who came along and took my challenge. And I said, you know, it's up to you to look good and to say smart things. And we'll see how it goes. Well, this is not the first time you've done this, but you certainly seem to have a feeling for it now.
Well, it's always fun to be here. The good news is I'm not trying to take your job like we joke about. I love being your wingman.
Oh, yeah. There you go. I can see it leaving right now. They just sold my car. And then, no, kidding.
In the first hour, we spoke about a couple of things. One of them was the death meal, the last meal that you could eat.
Yep.
Another thing we spoke about was the top five Italian restaurants in or near the French Quarter. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to broaden that to top five Italian restaurants outside the French Quarter, meaning basically in the entire city. And I've got a couple.
Ooh, you have undertaken a very big job, because the number of Italian restaurants around New Orleans is tremendous. I don't remember, and I've got a lot of old guidebooks of mine that go back, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, and we've never had the number of Italian restaurants that we had back then now. It's incredible how much Italian food, and it's good. So having taken up all your time there, what's your thoughts on it?
I like Andrea's.
Yeah?
I like Andrea's for several reasons.
He does, too. That's one of his favorite restaurants.
I'll bet it is, because he's been serving fine Italian food for a long time. One of the reasons why I like Andrea's is because of Cafe Blu, his bar, and being able to get a couple of small plates as opposed to just sitting down and having a larger meal, although I like to do that there as well. So Andrea's would definitely be at or near the top of that list.
Yeah, that's it's very interesting, because a lot of, again, I tell you, a lot of people feel that way. And he has whatever else can be said about Chef Andrea, he's always in the middle of things. And if you challenge him to do just about anything, he will do it for you. I've seen it happen again and again. It came up last week. There was a lady who had a flat tire, I think it was. And he went out there because somebody said, there's a lady out there who's got a problem. And he went out there, and within a few minutes, he had arranged for a tow truck to come out and drag it to the place where he was going to get it fixed again. But the lady herself, Chef Andrea, arranged for a limo to pick her up and bring her to her house. And she wasn't even a regular customer there. She just happened to be there. And for him to do that, you know, you talk about hospitality and about somebody who does good service. I mean, that's pretty hard to beat.
That's going over the top. Yeah. Now, I'm going to mention another one. And this is going to be a whodunit.
Okay.
Okay. When I was in grammar school, I went to grammar school with the Compagnos.
Yeah?
Yes.
The Compagnos from St. Charles Avenue?
Yes. Now, my whodunit.
There used to be four of them.
My whodunit is the restaurant that replaced Compagnos.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Vincent.
Yes.
Yeah. Terrific place. Underrated. It looks like it's a little neighborhood joint and isn't going to turn out for you. Not in my experience. Everything I've ever had there has been first class.
He's really done a great job. They went in and renovated the restaurant, modernized it. Vincent came in, brought in his own ideas.
I probably ought to say that Vincent and I have known one another for a long time. And what was going on is that back at the very beginning of that radio, restaurant, Vincent's, it was also the beginning of this radio show. They both started at almost exactly the same moment. And because of that, any of his regular customers from a long time ago, they're still part of the restaurant practically. And then you can go over there and get served very, very well without having to, again, I tell you, you know, put a huge pile of money in front of the boss.
You're at 105.3 FM HD2 WWL, where we talk food with you.
Uh-huh.
Call us up.
Well,
we'd
done.
Love to hear from you. It's 504-260-MENU or 504-260-6368.
Yeah, call us up. Why not? If you've never done it before, it's kind of an interesting thing. It won't upset you too much, but maybe, put a key word or something in there and you'll get there.
Okay, my next whodunit in the Italian is going to be two relatives who have Italian restaurants, which are separate, but there's one on the North Shore and there's one on the South Shore. And I believe they share the same red sauce recipe.
This sounds like impastados.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if they serve the same. It would actually be logical that they both share the same red sauce because that family, you're right, you've identified them right away. They actually have a not a factory exactly, but it's a big production plant is not the word either. It makes, but they prepare it there. They also make their own pasta, and that really shows that Alfredo pasta that they do. It's perfection. And I've been there, to Italy, and I'm telling you, there's nobody in Italy better than that.
Now my next restaurant is going to be the North Shore version.
All right,
this is Sal and Judy's.
Sal and Judy's made all of the sauce. And that you were referring to a minute ago. Boy, that guy can cook.
That is one of the best meals I've ever had in my life.
And you will find it totally consistent, and there's only one problem with going to Sal and Judy's, and that is they are almost always at the packed limit on the ceiling, practically. They have a lot of regular customers, and they are just irresistible. Like they're in there all the time.
We're talking top five restaurants, Italian restaurants, outside of the French Quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Call us up with your favorite. We'd love to hear from you. I'm Ron, the Gourmet Waiter. This is with Tom Fitzmaurice, 504-260-6368. What's your favorite Italian restaurant in the French Quarter or out of the French Quarter?
Mm-hmm. Lately, the one I like, well, I'm going to save this for a while. Let some other people get in. 260-6368. And great time of year. We are. We have just escaped from the. I was coming at it the wrong way. This today is the beginning of the carnival season, and now we head towards Lent and then Easter and all that. Boy, it moves fast at this time of year, doesn't it?
It flies by.
It really does. But a lot of that coming by, and a lot of interesting things. That are part of this, like, for example, Arno's had a dish on its menu going way back, and it involved some flaming in the kitchen and whole little birds that they would put together, and it was just great, or you thought it would be in the old days, and you realize that the old days never knew what they were doing, and then the new guys came along, Archie Kasbarian, and did it right. And now I think it's that's a really great restaurant. I'm a big fan of Arno's and have been ever since Archie and his company, and his wife and son, daughter, they're all there.
Brunch, lunch,
brunch, yep,
or dinner. If you had to pick one at Arno's,
oh God. Number one, Arno's for brunch. Just everything I want out of that.
Best brunch in the city, possibly?
Maybe so. Brennan's would be on that list. Let's see, who else?
How about Commander's Palace?
Commander's Palace, I think they're at their best, which is most of the time. It needs no questioning at all. It's happening. You're not even sure how it's happening, but it is definitely happening. And on top of that, below it, maybe I should say, I think as beautiful a restaurant as that is, especially at midday when you would be on a Sunday brunch and you've got the trees and all of that, I still don't think that's the best time to go there. If you want to go to Commander's Palace and really experience the food there and the service and the wines and everything else, go for dinner. Go for dinner. That's not true of every restaurant in the world, but it is of that one, I would say. So, what do you say to that, huh?
I love dinner
top
at Commander's.
Top that off, will you?
I love dinner at Commander's Palace because that's where I went for my high school prom.
Did you?
Yes.
Oh, lucky you. Did I ever tell you where I went for my prom?
I remember the story, so I'd love to hear it.
No, I don't think we'll plague other people with that. But it was, went to the Bally High, which not many people will remember, but if you're old enough, you certainly do. It was at Pontchartrain Beach. And a lot of people did that. They had all of what they called the cuisine of the Pacific. This was, they said all of this was coming out of the Pacific Ocean somewhere, and it was, what was it? There's a name for it. Polynesian, thank you. There's no such thing as a Polynesian cuisine. It never existed anywhere. These people were out in the middle of the ocean. But they made a big fuss over it, and especially over at the restaurant I'm telling you about. And then it kept on going, and that's where you go. You would take your girlfriend or your boyfriend or who else, and there you are, and then you go to the dance. But then it all kind of went away.
So this was your prom night?
No. After all of that, I'm sorry to have wasted all of your time. My prom night menu, that's it's too much to even start talking about it. Some other time. If you dig around on the website, you'll find it.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about the chefs that have been at Commander's Palace over the years? They've all branched out and done their own things.
Yeah, well, some of them have. Not all of them.
Okay.
Like,
I know you're a big fan of Mr. B's Bistro.
Mr. B's, I certainly was. You know, that's Ralph Brennan's end of the Commander's, Ralph Brennan.
Yes.
And his sister. They have owned it since Katrina, really, if I remember correctly. But that all expanded as time went on, and it's hard to make a difference between the two of them. But they sure did do a good job with that kind of dining.
Yeah. How about brunch, the old-fashioned traditional brunch? What would you have?
The buffet style?
I'm going to skip the buffet, and I'm going to go with service. What would be on your brunch menu? What would you order?
First of all, I don't like brunch very much. I mean, the whole idea of it, I don't. It's not my kind of thing. There are some restaurants that get away with it, but I can't get worked up about them. Brennan's would I think be my top. Broussard's, I think, is better than you think it's going to be. And let's see. I don't know. I'd have to think about that for a while. Because
Brennan's?
It's something I don't go to. Brennan's? Yeah, Brennan's on Royal Street. But they do breakfast every day.
Yes.
And which is, you know, they invented that.
This is the food show. We're talking brunch. Where would you go for brunch if you had one brunch left?
It's one brunch left.
This is 105.3 FM HD2 WWL, where we talk food with you. Call us up, 504-260-6368. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Thank you. It's the food show, and we're smirking and telling funny little jokes and walking around and talking about the food scene in New Orleans. That is what we do for a living around here. Who's we? Well, there's we, Tom, me, Tom Fitzmaurice. Nice to be here with you. We have Ron, the gourmet waiter, here.
And it's my pleasure to be here. Thank you and Marianne for having me here.
Well, thank you very much for allowing us to have a little free time here in the middle of nowhere.
I also want to recognize our producer, Doug, the man behind the glass.
Yeah, he is more of a pro than most people have any idea, and that's pretty good. So whatever that meant that I just said. Anyway, I had this thing that I wrote down here, and I don't know whether it's here just to, for joke purposes or what, but it says, restaurants of the future. I can't say I've picked that sentence before and thought about it, but as long as it's sitting here in front of me, can I throw it on in front of you?
Well, of course we can, and I'm qualified to talk about that because
I've been
a server and a manager for a while. One of the changes that I've seen in the industry is getting away from servers and going to counter service. We spoke about that last hour.
Counter service. What is that? It's where everything is eaten on a counter?
Either that or you walk up to the counter and place your order, and then they give you a number or they call your name when your food's ready. The whole idea is you're basically serving yourself.
Brother. This is, as you might have guessed from my sounds, not my favorite way to go to a restaurant. I think that Mike is on the phone. Well, let's finish what you were saying first.
It's changing. The whole industry is changing, and one of the things that they're changing too is counter service. And I'm not a big fan of it. And then you see these drive-throughs with just unlimited cars in the drive-through. To me, that's not real food or how I'd like it.
I can't stand it. But I'm not convinced that it's permanent. I think we might talk them out of it.
So we have a caller?
We do, indeed. I forgot who it was.
Mike.
Mike, welcome to the food show.
Hello.
Hello there. Come on in.
A couple of restaurant reports to tell you about, one on the South Shore, one on the North Shore.
Mm-hmm.
Went to Gallagher's 527 on New Year's Eve. Excellent as always.
Yep.
I had a good bottle of champagne as well as crab meat St. Francis and that wonderful veal chop with that mushroom cream sauce. And that was really delicious. My wife had halibut. That was very good, she said.
Yeah. Halibut, by the way, is the fish of the day in Halifax. I wanted to make sure that word got out.
One of the things I really like about Gallagher's on New Year's Eve is that it's the regular menu at regular prices.
Isn't that something? You know, that's one of the best things about that restaurant. They play that game all the time. They have an enormous menu, and it's very good.
That's very rare on New Year's Eve that somebody doesn't have a special menu at an elevated price, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
The second place, and it's the second time I've been there, is Rizzuto's.
Rizzuto's is good, isn't it?
It's good. I really like the place a lot. Okay,
me
I like
too,
the
yeah.
feel of the place. I like the feel of the place. I enjoy being there. They're very, very hospitable and accommodating. The food I find to be very good to excellent. I have one complaint, and it showed itself on both occasions. One time with a companion, and one time with myself. And they seem to have a hard time getting steaks and chops to the proper temperature. Proper temperature.
That's interesting. I can't say that I've experienced that before, but I know how exasperating that can be.
I ordered the veal chop. I had a veal chop over there also. I was, I guess, in a veal chop kind of a mood. And I don't like veal any less well done than medium. I eat steak medium rare, but veal, I want medium. I don't want it to be moist inside and wet inside. And it came out medium rare. And I was... No, I did not tell them about it. No, I did not send it back because for a multitude of reasons, I don't like sending food back. It just throws the whole meal off.
And that is true.
It wasn't edible. It was, and it was top quality veal, but it would have just been better if it had been cooked the way I had requested it. And it was not inexpensive at $65.
Yeah, I guess so. That's...
One final thing regarding a last meal... The thing that comes to my mind probably more than anything else, and obviously it's no longer available, but Gerard Crozier would have provided that meal.
Oh, brother, would that have been true?
It would have been a prime strip steak with paragadine sauce and potatoes d'affinois and whatever else he felt like putting out that night. Yeah.
Yep, I sure do. I was I ate in his restaurant the second day they were open. I was working within about maybe 10 blocks back in those days. This was in New Orleans East. And it had a big sign on the front that said the name of the place. And
Croger,
French cuisine. Probably he had it in French. And I thought, what? I got to get a laugh from this. And I pulled in, sat down, had the same dinner that I would have probably another 50 times before he passed away. But what a chef that guy was. Really miss him.
Really understated. You know, he didn't get all the publicity that a lot of other people got, but he was as good as anybody that ever cooked in this city. You know?
He always got a 5-star from me.
Whenever today's 12th night. I thought y'all be talking about king cakes, you know?
Well, yeah. You know, I thought about that, but there's so much of that being talked about by everybody else. Thought I'd hang on.
All right.
Hey, wait, wait. Before,
Happy New Year.
Wait. Before you get away, you and I had a conversation about 3 weeks ago or so. We were talking about vintage port.
Yeah. Port, yeah.
I was digging out my wine pile, getting ready for New Year's, and I found a 77 vintage.
Do you remember what house it was?
You know, I should, but if I were at home, I'd run and check it. But it's a major, but I can't remember which one exactly it is. So we're going to have to get together some regular customers here and split.
I have a special corkscrew that's perfect
you do?
For this type of. Well, the thing about it is that. That cork is almost always going to crumble to pieces.
That's true.
Not only the age, but also the high alcohol content of port just eats the corks up.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a corkscrew out there. It's not inexpensive, but you can buy one at a Costa Pesos. It's like $100, to tell you the truth.
Mm.
And it's called a Duran, okay? And what it is, you know what an osso is, right?
Yeah.
An osso is that two-prong thing that you stick down and mm-hmm. you twist and pull straight out.
Yeah, those are great. I use them all the time.
Ossos are quite inexpensive, and the problem with an osso is it'll do that job very well if you don't push the cork all the way in when you're inserting it.
Yeah.
But the Duran is a hybrid. They give you a worm like a regular corkscrew, which you insert first, and that keeps the cork from going down into the bottle, and then the osso part of the Duran is what lifts the cork out.
You walk it out.
It works incredible.
It works every penny really well,
On those occasions when you need it, it's irreplaceable.
Okay, so remember that we are counting on you for bringing that, and we will have that bottle sometime in the unpredictable future.
Mike, I've got a quick question for you because you sound like you're very qualified. Okay, so I've got a question for you.
Okay.
I'm Ron, the gourmet waiter. Since you're obviously
Ron,
a gourmet,
yeah.
Next time you call in, can we get you to be Mike, the gourmet blank?
Marianne wants me to be Mike the Gourmet.
Okay.
But I tell her I'm just a regular guy, you know?
Yeah. You sound like a gourmet.
Yeah, well, I'm not an enophile, that's for sure. I don't like anything with file on the end of it, you know?
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Well, that covers that. See you.
Happy New Year, Mike.
Bye. It's The Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. It's fun being here with you, talking about eating and drinking and such. Half past the hour already. How did that happen?
We were talking about port just a minute ago.
Port,
and Mike mentioned
the high
alcohol content contributing to some of these corks that are just going to go ahead and basically disintegrate when you pull them out. So I've got a trick for you.
Tell me.
Okay. Push the cork in.
Okay. There.
What you want to do is you want to get another cork that came out of another bottle.
Smart move. I'd never thought about that, but that makes sense.
And you basically want to you want to get this cork and you want to trim it off just a little bit and then put that on top of the old cork. And if you push in, if there's enough airspace, you can actually push the cork into the bottle whole as opposed to having to deal with the pieces that you're going to be dealing with if you don't have a special corkscrew. That's also just another way to open a bottle of wine mm-hmm. if you ever just don't have access to a corkscrew.
Yeah, well, when you're talking about very old vintage ports, you want to make sure you're not screwing up where you could have. Aside from that, I pretty much agree with what you say. So, here we are still on the food show. Nice to be here with you talking about food and wine and stuff. If you don't know anything about vintage ports, don't go and buy a bottle of it. Non-vintage, that's wide open. You'll learn everything it's about. But once you start getting in those high alcohol setups, but the flavors, we're going to do that. I'm trying to figure out activities for our listeners. Not that you're dull and have nothing better to do, but we're going to. I'm going to see if, as time goes on, we get some interesting special events going. You know, not as organized as the Eat Club was. The Eat Club, when that was running, it was so complicated to keep straight. We finally just had to stop doing it. But I think we could pedal this down a little bit and then get back at it and see what else we can find out there. What do you think? Worthwhile or just something to take up time?
Talking about wine, one of the things that I've noticed over the years, because I've been in several restaurants where I served high-quality wines, I tend to like a wine that's a couple of years old, but I never really found the value in the much older wines where the price tag was so high because the wine had been stored properly. In other words, a perfect mm-hmm. example would be, let's just say a Cabernet Sauvignon, and maybe one that came from France or one that came from California. I find that I like one that's 2 to 3 years old, but when you start aging these over 5 years and you get to 8, 10 years, I don't find that it's worth the money.
Well, you know, it depends on what it is. And, you know, some wines can pull that off and some wines can't. One very peculiar one is that when we got to the end of our wedding reception, my wife and my wedding reception, we had about 2 cases of the red wine still left over. We had a big crowd there, but for some reason nobody was drinking red wine. And something happened. Well, I tell you what, after we come back from the break, I'll tell you what it was. It was really kind of pretty amazing, and we would be able to talk about it for years. We'll talk about it for years after we come back from a message or two here on The Food Show on 105.3 FM HD2. Gregory is on the phone, but Gregory, I ask you if I couldn't talk to Margaret first, because after all, she's a girl, I guess. Probably so. Margaret?
Yes.
Welcome to our show. Thank you very much. What's up?
Well, you were talking about Andrea's restaurant earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I was reminded of a visit I had to that restaurant a long time ago. I went with my mother and my aunt, and Chef Andrea came over, and he talked to them, and he kissed their hands, and they had a wonderful time.
Oh, wonderful. Glad to hear that. And he will be, too.
Were there cookbooks involved also, Margaret?
No, not for that visit.
I know he likes to sign cookbooks.
Uh-huh.
Well, okay. Thanks for the report.
Okay. Goodbye.
See ya.
Thank you
Bye.
For calling, Margaret.
Wait, what's this up? What's this about the cork? I mean, the...
Chef Andrea will sign your cookbook if you bring your cookbook into Andrea's.
Huh. Well, I'm going to have to see about that because I wrote his book.
Okay.
and he'll be laughing about that right now.
Sure. Now we have another caller.
Yes, we do. Gregory, welcome to the food show. Come on in.
And thank you for holding, Gregory.
Oh, well, thank you. Happy New Year, Ron, the gourmet waiter. And happy New Year, Tom.
Yep.
Everybody's well, huh?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, y'all were talking about 5 best Italian restaurants in one's opinion.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. In the city, doesn't have to be in the quarter. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this is in no order, but these are places I love and I go all the time.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Ristorante Filippo.
Yeah.
Del Porto.
A little restaurant. Del Porto. Yeah.
No, mm-hmm. Vincent's, both locations.
Yep.
I got Andrea's on there because I really like the food there.
Mm-hmm.
And Fausto's.
Fausto's. I love Fausto's.
There you go. Well, those are my five. And, Tom, it was me several weeks ago that brought up the subject of vintage port, and Mike had called in after me and said, hey, Gregory's spending too much money on this thing. So I didn't spend that much money on my vintage ports, and I happen to like port.
Yeah.
So
all right. Fair enough.
I had to get that little dig in there.
Why not?
Dig in there.
Yes, sir.
Well,
why not? What's life all about other than to get a dig in now and then?
Gregory, I've got
a
whodunit for
either.
You.
I'm not an enophile either. I'm just a guy who loves wine. I mean, I guess that's the term enophile, but I've never really particularly liked that term myself. Now, as far as the last meal, is that another thing you brought up, Ron?
Yes, sir.
The death meal.
That is, that really cheers me up. Just the thought of that.
No. I think about this often because, Tom, I've listened to your show over the years, and people have asked you that question on many times.
Let's have it, Gregory.
Okay, well, it would start off with definitely some New Orleans-style grilled oysters. Now I start with that. Then it would have to be the crispest wedge salad with blue cheese and a few slices of Roma tomatoes at the base down there, because I like those with my wedge salad. Then it would have to be Agnes Bellet's beef Wellington. I'm not kidding you. Her beef Wellington, and then some Lyonnaise potatoes on the side.
No, wait. Who is this? I missed something here.
Agnes Bellet's beef Wellington.
Oh, yeah. She's the last surviving.
Then of course.
Huh? She is the last vestige of the old Louis XVI restaurant, which was a great restaurant in its time. But when it closed down, we were left with almost nothing. And Agnes, which looks like Agnes, she pretty much stepped in, took over, and does all to this day all the business for those hotels around that place.
She really is. She's quite a woman.
Yep.
And indeed, and she could probably whip it up for you right away. But it certainly have to be the beef Wellington as the main course. And I would have to finish it off with a homemade pecan pie a la mode with homemade vanilla ice cream. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, some cognac and wine to go with, you know, with all the courses and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that
sounds
delicious.
Greg, you sound a little Grand Marnier, you know?
Greg, you sound like you're a gourmet, and who knows Italian? Because you mentioned five great Italian restaurants. So I've got a whodunit for you. I'm gonna name a restaurant, and you're going to tell me the sister restaurant, and this is his sister.
This is interesting.
So you mentioned Fausto's. Fausto's sister also cooks, and she's got a famous Italian restaurant. Who done it?
Irene.
Absolutely. Way to go.
Ding, ding, ding.
10 out of 10.
And you know, I Irene's was going to be on my list, but I just the first five came up, and then I actually had a sixth and a seventh. One was Dominica, and the other one was Irene's. But because those are places I go to quite often. And,
both great restaurants.
Even though Dominica is, you know, I think Irene's an incredibly good Italian restaurant. But I don't go to it as often as I can because sometimes I can't shoot myself into that joint. It's so packed all the time.
Sure. One of the things about Dominica that's fantastic is that they have a happy hour. I know it. I believe it used to be 3 to 6. I think now it's 2 to 6. And what is it? 50% off wine, 50% off pizza?
And then, they have the pizza 50% off, and there's certain appetizers, too, which, the antipasti that they do, which is absolutely thrift. Hey, Ron, I'm glad you're doing this. I mean, I never get to talk to you, but I certainly heard you guest host over the years. What a terrific bunch of subjects you brought up.
I'm glad to hear you say that because I was thinking the same thing myself, so it's really been good.
Well, Greg, I've got a question for you. Since you know gourmet and you love Italian, if we were going to call you a gourmet, you would be Greg the gourmet blank.
I'd be Greg the unimportant gourmet.
Unimportant?
The committee has seconded your answer.
The casual gourmet guy, you know? I mean, I like food. Like Tom said, you don't have to be a gourmand in the sense of in terms of the dictionary. As long as you have a love of food, you're a gourmet.
Yeah,
yes.
That's right, Tom? Yeah, that's it. If you are enjoying yourself and you're finding exploration coming out of you, why wouldn't you want to keep that on your radar forever?
Now, Greg,
well,
I've got some homework for you.
Tom, I've always remembered you saying that. And just for the record, I mean, my child number was 17 for many years, so
hey.
I'm very proud of that.
By the way, did you hear? We're gonna reinstate the child numbers pretty soon.
Okay, well, I gotta get on your website and say that I'm still 17. I hope.
Well, we'll see about that. I don't know how that works.
Greg, did you get your chow number from Mindy?
Yeah, I got my chow number from Mindy.
Because I'm chow number 13. The baker's dozen.
How about that?
Okay, I've got some homework for you, real quick, Greg. Next time you call in, I want you to come up with your own top five list, and it can be anything involving food or beverage. So the next time you call up, we want you to be Greg the Unimportant Gourmet. Is that what you said?
That's it. Greg the Unimportant Gourmet.
And then give us a top five list. It can be anything.
Yeah,
anyway,
why not?
It's Gregory the Unimportant Gourmet. Because there is another Greg that calls in, so we don't want to get confused.
That sounds fantastic. Yeah. Thank you for the compliments. It's our pleasure, and thank you for calling in. Always good to hear.
Very good.
So long, you guys. Happy New Year.
Thank you. You too. See ya. This is The Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. We talk about eating. We talk about restaurants and cooking and wine and all of those things. Love to hear from you. 260-6368. 260-6368. And if you've never called our program before, please know that there is no upper or lower levels for what you can talk about or whether you have to like something or hate it or something. But you can tell us whatever is on your mind and share it with us because we always get a lot of useful information that way. Thank you. 260-6368. Boop. Let's see, you guys, what you got next?
I've got another top five list for you.
You do? And what does it concern?
A while back when I called up... We were talking about restaurants that are no longer here.
Mm, the extinct restaurants.
So we were going to put a top five list together, and I was going to start off with Uglesich's.
Well, a lot of people will say that.
I thought that the seafood and the fish were done very, very well there.
Yeah, great oysters, too.
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of the neighborhood back then, but the food was fantastic.
It was kind of a little rough, yeah.
And I agree, the long lines sometimes were a little too much.
Mm-hmm.
So what would be on your list?
Top five
extinct restaurants. Call us up, 504-260-6368.
Yeah, this is a no-brainer for me. LaRuth's. LaRuth's, and my second...
That would be Warren LaRuth.
Yeah. Girard's. Crozier's.
Yes.
Yeah. That would be on there. Christian's.
What was the best thing LaRuth's did, in your opinion?
The oyster thing that they did as an appetizer, and also the crab meat thing that they do for an appetizer. Both of those were killer appetizers.
And then Crozier's.
And Crozier's, he had a style of its own in one sense, but in another sense, he was playing the classic kind of out in the gathering of people out in the woods and all around. You know, that's the kind of food that he did. It's a French restaurant, yeah. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, you have French cooking that is taken in restaurants, and there are some that are taken while you're running around in the woods.
Okay, we've got two more, Tom.
Two more extinct restaurants. Anybody?
What would it be?
Oh, you're asking me?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You are the most experienced gourmet in the room at the moment.
I am?
So I figured I'd ask you.
Okay, let's see. The next one after that would be,
How about one on the North Shore?
That's a no-brainer.
Something
too.
By the Cool Water Ranch.
This would be La Provence. La Provence, throughout its history, was either great or extraordinarily great, and always consistent and. Came to a very embarrassing end. Although I hear that they are going to rebuild. So that's on the way. Sal is here on the green phone. Sal, you there?
I'm here, and it's my favorite caller. Thanks for putting me on.
Oh, my pleasure. You know, we're always looking ready to get... never mind. I screwed that up badly.
Come on in, Sal.
Well, I've got five restaurants that would be my favorite
as
far as my preference and taste. It may not make the best list. It may not. Y'all may not agree, but...
All right.
My favorite extinct restaurants would have been Brunning's, Moran's on the Riverside Inn.
Yep.
Visco's on the West Bank, Lenfant's, and let's see, what would my number five be? Oh, Papa Rosselli's in West End.
Oh, well, that was a really unusual place because it was this Italian restaurant with Christmas tree lights around the inside, but it was really Italian.
Yeah,
because it was at West End Park, it could do anything it wanted, pretty much.
Pretty much. And another one I enjoyed, and this is probably not a gourmet place that you would think of, but it's a burger joint, and that was Bull's Corner in right behind Baptist Hospital.
Yeah, I remember that well. When I was in college, we were always over there. It was very popular. They came and went. The guy who created it sold a franchise of it or something like that to some other people. And so they wound up, it was in La Place for a long time. I don't think they're there anymore. I'm not sure.
Well, have you, I heard a while back y'all were talking about Boudin, Cracklin, and things of that nature.
Yes.
Yep.
And, you know, having lived in the Lafayette area for about 30 years of my life, I really got spoiled over there, but I recently discovered a place in Covington called Bergeron's.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. That's pretty good.
Okay. Yeah, they do a pretty good job.
If you're looking for, sausages and that kind of thing, they've got a good lead on it.
Yeah, the Cracklin and Boudin are pretty good, I have to say. And another thing, you know, another place I've tried recently since they opened up a location over here with Felix's in Mandeville. They're doing a really good job too. I noticed on the websites they're not getting very good reviews, but you got to take that with a grain of salt depending on who's doing the reviewing. But I thought, we had lunch there a couple of weeks ago as a group from our office, and everything was great. The food was great, the service was wonderful, and prices were very, very reasonable.
Yeah, it's still just getting started, so that's not a restaurant I'm willing to review quite yet, but it'll happen.
Like the menu's going to be the same, but it's just a matter of are they run properly and preparing it properly, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I found no complaints whatsoever, to be honest.
No, I'm glad they opened up some kind of restaurant there because that was a big gap in, they had the Nuttini's and several other restaurants were in that space before that. I think they might have had as many as 7 or 8 restaurants over the years in that very spot.
Well, Tom, tell me, do you have any new restaurant reports to talk about? Have you been to Dabs yet or anything like that?
I have been to Dabs, which is Chef Duke revised. Uh-huh. And
right.
Good luck to him on that. And what else?
How was it?
It was okay. I don't think he's got it all put together yet. And he pretty much admits that. That's the feeling I get. And most of the people I've talked to about it seem to be happy with it, too. But I think, you know, you open a new restaurant, it's never easy to get it going.
It's not.
Yeah.
It always takes a while. I hear Tom always talking about at least 6 months, maybe a year, before you really get all the kinks out and get things right and get your locals starting to come in.
And, maybe, you know, the fun thing about that is there's so many people opening restaurants who really... I'm not talking about Chef Duke. He's definitely an expert. But there's some people opening restaurants that don't even last that long.
Yeah.
You know?
I see two reasons One of the reasons is I think a lot of people don't understand the time that it takes to get through that first curve. I think that a lot of times they open up without the resource, the financial resources to get to where they need to be, because sometimes it really takes a couple of years for a restaurant to get going. The second thing that I have found is what the industry that I was in, it's finding good help. It's finding good service people.
Yeah, well, that's nothing new, but you certainly are right about that.
Well, y'all have a great evening. Thanks for taking my call, and thanks for all you do to enrich our culture.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That's very nice of you to say.
Thank you, Sal. I appreciate you calling in.
I would never put it in those words exactly, but I am just nuts about the idea that after listening to our show, people seem to want to eat out a little bit more often and a better quality and all those other things, and we come out of it with a little better action. And so we help ourselves back and forth, over and over again.
So we've got a couple of moments left in the show, Tom.
Yeah. What do we do with them? What do we do with them? I don't know.
Well, I've got the final list, and I'm going to ask you that. This is two questions, and
okay.
I want to toast Marianne Fitzmaurice, because this question is going to be geared towards Marianne.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Uh-huh. What is the best hamburger restaurant, in her opinion? And the second follow-up question is going to be, what is, in her opinion, what is the best burger joint that's no longer around?
Well, if she were here, she'd tell you.
Okay, so...
And I'll be darned if I know, because what do I care about burgers?
What's her favorite hamburger joint?
I don't know.
Top two, maybe?
I'm sorry to tell you, because every time, it seems like every time I turn around, she's got a new one. There's one that's shaking something. It's something shake. Shake Shack. Big fuss over there. You wouldn't believe how much she wanted to get in there and check it out. And it was, to my taste, a total zero. But the people pack it. I mean, it is hugely busy. So what can you say about that other than, well, lucky them.
It's unbelievable, the hamburger craze that started a couple of years back, and how the overpriced hamburgers got to be. I've never seen so much fuss made over a burger, although I will admit I love a good burger.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with a good hamburger. But, you know, once in a while. Oh, well, I'll get in trouble for this. I'll let you know what happens.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this certainly has been a lot of fun with our top five list Monday.
Yeah. Yeah, especially the fact that it's on a Monday. Here we are on a Monday doing our program. We've been quite busy. At the beginning we weren't, but for the second half of the show, we've been rolling right along. So, Ron the Gourmet Waiter, I think you can say you've scored one.
Well, I appreciate being here. I want to thank Marianne for inviting me, and you for having me here, and also Doug, our magician behind the glass.
Yeah, well, he's one of our stalwarts, and he's going to have the warts taken care of. Somebody stop him.
So we talked, you spoke real briefly about the chow numbers coming back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the chow thing was so ridiculous that it amazes me to this day that anybody got involved in it, let alone the fact that after a while we lost track of all the numbers and we could never find them again. So we had to do it all over again. And then we've done it all over again. And now we're talking about it yet again. And what will come of it, I can't tell you because I don't know. We have come to the end of our program. Everybody who listened today, I thank you very much for being here. I bet, Ron, you're feeling good about it.
Had a great show. Thanks for everyone calling, and thank you all again for having me here.
Thank you very much, and we'll be back tomorrow like we always are. It's The Food Show on 105.3 FM HD2.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.